We have been in a series in the book of Daniel for the last 3 weeks, and today we continue. We're looking at the character of Daniel himself and his life and his influence. And one of the ways that Daniel had powerful influence is that God allowed him to be in the place and gave him the opportunity to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the Babylonian Empire. And through circumstances that we've read over the last few weeks, God has brought Daniel to the place of being able to come into the presence of the king and to interpret his dream for him, the dream that had been so very troubling to the king, so much so that he had threatened the lives of those around him if they could not tell him what the dream meant. Last Sunday, we heard the words of Daniel as he told the great king that only God could reveal his dream to him. The king had finally heard that there was someone who could interpret the dream, and Daniel's brought in, and Daniel says, "No, king, no man can do this, but there is a God in heaven." You remember that term, the God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that can interpret your dream. And so today, as we think about Daniel, I want you to continue to think about that term, the God in heaven. There is only one God that can do many things, and he's the God in heaven. Daniel's life was an affirmation of a great faith in God, and he believed in the God of heaven. Daniel had been taken from his home in Jerusalem and marched probably 300 to 400 miles to the city of Babylon, depending on the route they took, as a preteen, probably a child. And just within a few years had been chosen to put into school, into the Babylonian school system, if you would, and taught many things about the Babylonian history and culture. And he had risen quickly to a great place of influence in the palace at Babylon. And he brought with it all along the way this core belief that there was a God in heaven. And so everything that Daniel did was based on his belief and his faith in God. Daniel's a great example of a man who had an anchor, and his anchor was God. And so all his life, all his decisions, all the important things that happen to Daniel in his life are rooted around that anchor of the God in heaven. There is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. I mean, Daniel lived it, he believed it, he proclaimed it, and he pointed people to it, as we talked about last week. Last week, we talked about this big moment where the stakes were so high, and Daniel has an opportunity to step in. What would Daniel say when he stood before the king? Well, what we know is when he goes in before the king and his life is somewhat at stake, he points him to God. Well, today we're going to look at the dream itself. The last 2 weeks we've kind of talked about the dream and Nebuchadnezzar and how Daniel handled that, but we're going to read the dream itself today and then look at the interpretation that Daniel gives to this great troubling dream of the king. Daniel chapter 2, verse 29 says, "As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mystery showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation, that you may understand what went through your mind." The first thing I noticed about Daniel's response to the dream of the king is that Daniel tells the king that God has a purpose for it. God has a purpose for the dream. He tells Nebuchadnezzar right away, "You're right to be troubled by this. You're right that this consumes you because God is trying to get your attention." God tries to get our attention by different means and different ways. God has a supernatural way to get our attention. Sometimes it's through a big event in life. Sometimes it's through something very small, very little, but God somehow subtly gets the attention of your heart and your mind to cause you to step back and think and to think about things that are important, to think about your life, to think about your future. Well, God gave to Nebuchadnezzar a great dream, and it was an important dream, and it was for God's purpose. You could say it was a gift from God. I mean, God gave this to Nebuchadnezzar as a gift. God gave it to him not because Nebuchadnezzar deserved to know what was going to happen, but God chose to give this man something about the future. We wonder, well, why did he do that? Well, we know that the dream was about Nebuchadnezzar's future, about his kingdom, about what was going to happen to him, what was going to happen to his reign. I mean, you remember, this dream is given to Nebuchadnezzar in the second year of his reign, and he reigned somewhere around 46 years. He lived a long time as the king over the Babylonian Empire. So this came right at the beginning, before he had established all the history and the power and the policies that he would. At the beginning, God gave him the dream about the future. I think it's as if God is giving Nebuchadnezzar a great opportunity to see what's in the future and to change the course of his life in ways that would bring good things. This was early in his life. I'm sure that that he was the king and he thought a lot about his future. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that God wants him to know that God is giving him a chance. God is giving you an opportunity. He says two times, so you will know. So, king, you will know. Daniel says, king, God is giving you an opportunity. And then verse 31 begins the dream itself, that nagging, continuous, ongoing dream in Nebuchadnezzar's mind. And here is the dream. Verse 31, you looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, and the bronze, and the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. What an amazing dream. Not very long, but powerful in the heart and the mind of the king. It was important. So here's this incredible dream, this massive statue, golden head, silver chest, bronze, and then the legs of iron mixed with clay. What a strange combination of this massive statue. And then suddenly this ball of fire and rock comes out of the sky and comes down and crushes the statue, and there's nothing left. You just imagine King Nebuchadnezzar waking up from that dream the first time, the second time, the third time. I don't know how many times he had the dream. Could have had it every night for years. All those times. What does it mean? So finally, he has this man that first tells him the dream, which is the great miracle is that Daniel knows the dream, not just the interpretation, but God gave the dream to Daniel as he had given it to Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel tells him the dream, and I just imagine Nebuchadnezzar suddenly I can just kind of see him drop in his throne chair. You know the dream. What does it mean? And in the next verse, Daniel interprets the dream. It's a little bit going back in history and recalling this is different, but imagine what that was like for Nebuchadnezzar on that day that he finally hears the meaning of this dream, the interpretation. The dream begins with high praise. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the King of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. And so Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar that God has put you in this high place. God has given you the kingdom. Move on to that next one, would you please? You are the king. You are the King of kings. You are the golden head, Nebuchadnezzar. You're as great as it gets in this world. You're the most powerful man in the world. You're the most powerful man of the most powerful kingdom. You, Nebuchadnezzar, are the very top. I think he was saying to Nebuchadnezzar, you can regard yourself as the absolute person that has the most in the whole world. You have the most might. You have the most glory. You have the most power. You, O King, are the King of Kings, the most powerful king on the earth. I think, well, the dream is starting pretty good for Nebuchadnezzar. But then he moves on from there. You have it all. But he tells them that it is the God of heaven who has given him everything. O King, you do have it all, but you don't realize that it's not because of you that you have it all. It's because there's a God of heaven who allowed you to have the things that you have. God has given you dominion. Number one, there's that term again, the God of heaven. He's given you dominion. God has given you the kingdom. God has given you the power. God has given you all these things that make you what you are. O King, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands, he has placed. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that God has given you everything that you have. I think, well, how does that relate to us? What in this dream or this story from Daniel, from this chapter 2, relates to us? Well, I'm reminded, number one, from the greatest to the smallest, everything we have is from God. No matter what you have or don't you have, is because God has allowed in your life you to have certain things. God knew where you would be born. God knew what family you would be born into. God knew what circumstances your life would be. It's not as if we just randomly come into the world and we randomly are born into a family, we're randomly part of a country, we randomly live our lives, and we randomly die on a certain day. The truth is, God knows every day of our lives. He knows everything about us. So God allows things in our lives, good and evil, good things that God allows. And he's saying to the king, God has allowed you to have all these things. He has given you these things. Out of the hands of the God of heaven, Nebuchadnezzar, you have been chosen for these things. He's made you, he says, ruler of man and beast. You're the head of gold. You're everything, Nebuchadnezzar. You have everything that you could possibly want. You are magnificent. You are powerful. You are lifted up. But then the truth of the dream comes. Maybe the part that seemed very scary to Nebuchadnezzar is the truth of the fact that Daniel is saying to Nebuchadnezzar, but it will all be over and it will all be gone. No matter what you have, Nebuchadnezzar, in this life, it will be gone. No matter what we have in this life, good or bad, no matter what we've accumulated, it will be gone. This life will be over. It will be finished. And we will move on, and there will be others that will come behind us. It will be gone. After you, King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says, there will be another kingdom that will rise. You know, sometimes we might think we're going to live, especially when we're young, we feel like we're going to live forever. At least I did. You know, when I was younger, I thought I was indestructible and I'd never hurt my ankle or my knees or get a cold or anything else. But the older I get, the more I feel, and I know that I'm mortal like everybody else. But you know, I wonder how Nebuchadnezzar felt. He had to be a young man when he had this dream, probably, because he did live and he reigned a long time. He probably was in his 20s or maybe 30s at this time in his life, and he was a powerful, powerful man. But Daniel says that your empire is going to come to an end. Your world's going to come to an end. Your life is going to come to an end. And then another kingdom will rise, and then another. And then another. In fact, the dream is about four kingdoms, and then the eternal kingdom that comes after the four. This dream is about the kingdoms that will take place from the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the time of Christ. Four kingdoms in a row. The first kingdom is the Babylonian kingdom, the Babylonian empire, and it was massive. If you look at a map of Asia and into parts of Europe, and you can see the Babylonian empire rose, and it was the largest empire in the history of the world at the time. It was massive. It was strong. It was led by the great King Nebuchadnezzar, who had many names that he was called in ancient history. Nebuchadnezzar was one of them, and he was a powerful king. He was a warrior. He led the army, and the Babylonian empire increased greatly during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. You look at this man and his influence. It was absolutely massive on a world scale. He was a conqueror. He was strong. He could use the sword. He could punish. He could conquer. God actually used Nebuchadnezzar to punish Jerusalem and bring to the end of God's people their time in Jerusalem when Jerusalem was destroyed. We read briefly about that a few weeks ago, and that Jerusalem was, the walls were broken down by Nebuchadnezzar's army, and many of the people taken by captive, taken back to Babylonian. And so for about 66 years or so, the Babylonian Empire absolutely ruled the world. But they too would be destroyed. And that's what the dream is saying to the king, that you think you're so mighty and you think you're so powerful and you think you're so indestructible, but someday it's going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end quickly. And it might seem like it could never be conquered, but it will be conquered. Nebuchadnezzar, you're a great man and you have a lot of great things, but your life will be over. So the dream is poured out. And then after this Babylonian Empire is over, Daniel tells the king, there will be another kingdom that will come. It's going to be the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours, of chest and arms of silver. And so this other kingdom will come and rise. It will be the kingdom of the Persians. And it will overlap the life of the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel covers Nebuchadnezzar and the first empire, and then just into the second empire of the Persians. Daniel lives into that time and interacts with the king of the Persians, King Darius. So you have that name in the book of Daniel too, and Daniel in the lion's den, King Darius. You have Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, and then you have Darius overlapping these two great empires. So Daniel was right as he interpreted the dream. By the time Daniel died, Nebuchadnezzar was dead, and the Babylonian Empire had been overrun and destroyed by the Persian Empire. Their great war king, Darius, will conquer Babylon and will follow a night where the handwriting was on the wall, and God had told the new king of, after Nebuchadnezzar was gone, the new king, that you have been so corrupt and proud in your heart that even this night your kingdom will be destroyed. And that very night the Persians conquered into the city of Babylon and destroyed them. I mean, God gave the prophecy and it will be fulfilled, and we'll see the fulfillment in the book of Daniel. King Darius becomes king and the Persians take over. And Daniel will serve this King Darius as well. And we'll see Daniel's faith lived out in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar and then in the life of Darius as well. The second kingdom will last from 539 B.C. to 331 B.C. Again, not a long time. Well, it depends when you think about the history of nations. Longer than Babylon, but signified by the bear. And later on in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a dream, and parts of this dream is relived in Daniel's dream. You have the breastplate of silver. You start with the golden empire, and then you have the silver, which is not as quite as rich, and then you move to the bronze one, but you can see a progression in these kingdoms of different things. We go from gold to silver, and then we go to the third kingdom, when the Persians are conquered by Alexander the Great, and the kingdom of Greece will begin. And it will, the scriptures say, it will rule over the whole earth, the empire of the Greeks. Rule over the whole earth. It will be the empire of bronze. Alexander the Great will be the one who will be the conqueror. You've maybe heard from history the stories of Alexander the Great. Well, this prophecy is about Alexander the Great and the coming to power of the Greek Empire. This dream is a prophecy. It's pretty detailed. It gives a lot of details. And this part of it is about when the Greeks come to power. And from 331 B.C. to about 168 B.C., all the things that you might have heard from history about the Greek Empire, Aristotle and Socrates and the philosophers and all those that made the Greek Empire so strong and powerful. This is the empire being described by Daniel in this dream. And it will they will be the world kingdom, the world power. They'll be the ones that will have it all for a time period. And then there will be a fourth kingdom that will come, Daniel tells the king about. And this fourth kingdom will be strong as iron. It's described. It will be the iron kingdom, the legs of iron. It's strong. It's powerful. It's not only strong and powerful, but it's diverse. And it has a mixture of people. It will be spread out. This fourth kingdom will spread out over the world, and it will be the Roman Empire. You think about who it is that Daniel was talking about. He is into the future now, 400 to 500 years, talking about an empire that will come, that will play out in history, the Roman Empire, and it's powerful. It will be wide. It will be diverse. It will also be fragmented. And then he puts in the symbol of the dream, God does, to describe the Roman Empire. Its feet are made of iron and baked clay. You think, well, what does that mean? Iron and baked clay. What happens when you mix in clay with iron? Well, it will crumble easier, a lot easier. The clay makes it weak, and it can be broken up. And that's what will happen to the Roman Empire. It will become very diverse, and eventually all its impurities inside of the kingdom will cause it to crumble and to break apart. And then God will send an everlasting kingdom more powerful than all the others. This great boulder in the sky, this fireball from heaven, is coming down to strike the statue. First the golden empire, and then the silver, and then the bronze, and the iron and clay. And there will be a kingdom that will come, King Nebuchadnezzar, that will be eternal, will be forever. Imagine as he's had this dream many times, and now Daniel's beginning to interpret it, and the wheels are turning in Nebuchadnezzar's mind of what kind of a God is going to do this. What kind of a God can direct nations? What kind of a God can direct kingdoms? And so you have these great kingdoms, powerful empires. But there's a God in heaven that's more powerful. Just as God establishes kings, God can tear them down. And so he has in his mind this last kingdom and how powerful it must be. I imagine for Nebuchadnezzar, that had no concept of the worship of God himself and believed in the authority and the existence of that one God, that he thought it was some kind of a military kingdom. And yet Daniel was telling him about a kingdom that would be spiritual and would be everlasting. It will be from the God of heaven. Again, there's that term one more time. The God of heaven will create this. The same God of heaven who gave you the dream. The same God of heaven who gave me the dream so I can tell you. The same God of heaven that will interpret the dream for you. The same God of heaven that sends the fireball down to destroy the kingdoms is the God of heaven who will create the everlasting kingdom. I mean, this is pretty neat as we look back on this, and we can see 500 to 600 years before Jesus comes, we see in this Old Testament book this picture of the kingdom of God, and God pointing us at that time to Jesus and the gospel and what he's going to say to us, the God of heaven. And it will truly crush all the others. It will be a kingdom unlike the others. It will be one that's more powerful and stronger and will speak to the hearts of people. And Daniel tells them that it will be forever. It will be a kingdom that will be established and will last. It will endure forever and ever and ever. It will be the kingdom of Christ. It will be the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and the plan of God and salvation that God is planning. All through the Old Testament, every book of the Old Testament points us to Jesus. The book of Daniel is very neat in that we can see, very picturesque in this dream, how that works and how God uses the Old Testament, uses these books of history, uses these writings, uses these books of prophecy, and tells us something about the future. And Daniel's role to do that is the kingdom of Christ. Daniel points in this dream to Jesus. Daniel's going to point later in his book past the time that Jesus came and to the end of times. Daniel's book is looking forward to God's plan and giving us a little bit about the power of God, the God who establishes the kingdoms, the God who allows the Babylonians and allows the Persians and allows the Greeks and allows the Romans. The God of God, the King of Kings, is the one who then will bring about the kingdom of Christ, the spiritual kingdom of Christ that will last forever. And then Daniel says, "This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, it broke the bronze, broke the clay, broke the silver, and broke the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy." Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, "This is your dream, and this is what God says to you. This is the future of the world. This is the prophecy that will lead to the kingdom of Christ." And then as Daniel finishes, I don't know if it's the emotion that goes out of Nebuchadnezzar or the pride that goes out of Nebuchadnezzar or the fear that comes into Nebuchadnezzar, but the very next verse it says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel." It's like something brought Nebuchadnezzar out of the chair. The truth of this prophecy brought Nebuchadnezzar out of the throne room chair, and he fell down before Daniel. He had finally been told the meaning of the dream, and it was powerful. I don't know if Nebuchadnezzar would say it wasn't good news, but it was news from God that gave him an opportunity to humble himself. This dream gave King Nebuchadnezzar an opportunity to do something, to change his kingdom and change who he was. God was giving him a great opportunity. But I think even more than that, Nebuchadnezzar knew that this dream was from the power of the God of heaven. And he knew that God was in control. He knew that God was in charge. So he fell down, giving a prostrate before Daniel, paying him honor. And he says, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Nebuchadnezzar recognized it for what it is. And we have the opportunity when we read this prophecy 2,600 years later to look back and see a powerful God who sees the future and can set up kings and remove kings, and giving Nebuchadnezzar an opportunity to respond to him. Would you stand as we close? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this journey through Daniel. I thank you, God, for what we have learned and heard about the character of Daniel and how, God, you allowed this man to stay true to what he believed, the knowledge of the God of heaven. And we've seen and we will see many times in this book how God powerfully intercedes in the life of Daniel because of his faithfulness. And Lord God, in this dream, you speak to Nebuchadnezzar. You really speak to the kingdoms of the world. You speak, Lord, to our hearts. Lord, if we listen to what you say about who's in charge, we acknowledge that God is the one who controls destinies. He controls our lives. He directs our lives. We thank you for that today. I pray that we would worship the God of heaven. I pray, God, that we would acknowledge you for who you are and pay, Lord, put you in that place of authority in our lives. I pray, God, that you would help us to honor you. Help us to honor the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you sent him to set up an everlasting kingdom in this world and in all of eternity, I pray. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the promise of Jesus. And thank you that you sent him to our world. And may we see him as a great and a lasting and a mighty king, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.